This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on a new week, new month. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
And begin with a new display of U.S. resolve in the push to help Ukraine in the war against Russia. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is leading a congressional delegation in Poland today after a surprise trip over the weekend to Kyiv and a meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
America stands with Ukraine. We stand with Ukraine until victory is won.
Of course, there are questions about what victory would actually look like in the face of Russia's unrelenting assault, especially in eastern Ukraine. While the U.S. delegation visited Kyiv, dozens of civilian survivors of the siege of Mariupol finally emerged from a besieged steel plant in that area. Many others, though, are still believed to be trapped inside along with Ukrainian soldiers. Charlie Daggett is once again in Ukraine for us. Charlie, good morning. Busy weekend.
Good morning to you, Tony. Yes, this is what's left of an industrial site after the Russian military found out that Ukrainian forces were using it as a base. They're now closing in on three sides. Meanwhile, the evacuation of that steel plant has resumed today.
From beneath the rubble and remains of the pummeled steelworks plant, dazed survivors emerge to the light of day. I can't believe it. 2 months of darkness, said Natalia Yuzmanova. We did not see any sunlight. We were so scared. Families, many children, even pets among those now headed toward the relative safety of Ukrainian-held territory. Their rescue after so many failed attempts marks a significant achievement for both the UN and the Red Cross, raising some hope that lives can be saved even from besieged cities like Mariupol. But while the guns momentarily fell silent in the port city, fighting has raged along the battlefields of eastern Ukraine. A grinding Russian offensive has forced the few remaining residents in towns like Lyman to flee, where we saw volunteers risking their own lives to save others.
Right after we left town, a Russian airstrike destroyed that railway bridge leading out of town. It's part of a wider campaign for Russians trying to stop U.S. and Western weapons from reaching Ukrainian forces fighting on these front lines.
In another indication, the war has extended beyond these front lines to Russian soil. Explosions were reported in the Russian border town of Belgorod, where social media video captured a military installation on fire. Russian forces are also being targeted on water. This video claims to show a Ukrainian drone destroying two high-speed patrol boats in the Black Sea. Exhausted Ukrainian soldiers remain outnumbered and outgunned and can only hope America's heavy weapons get here before the Russian military does.
Now, President Putin is determined to take over the entire Donbass region. That includes this town. Russian forces are advancing from the north and the south, threatening to trap both Ukrainian soldiers and civilians alike. Nate?
Charlie Daggett in Ukraine. Thank you. President Biden has asked for $33 billion more in aid to Ukraine. The measure seems to have bipartisan support, but it could be tied up in other issues the two parties do not agree on. Nicole Killian is following this on Capitol Hill. Nicole, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Nate. Speaker Pelosi will return here to Washington as one of the key players to try to get this $33 billion package through. Democrats and Republicans actually agree that this supplemental aid is a priority, but some worry it could get stalled if Pelosi and Democratic leaders try to tie the funding to a $10 billion COVID package to boost pandemic programs. That measure has been held up for weeks over the fight to reimpose Title 42, a Trump-era immigration policy. As for timing, the House is out this week, so final approval could still be a few weeks away. But to underline the urgency, President Biden will travel to Alabama tomorrow to visit a Lockheed Martin factory that produces Javelin missiles, which are some of the weapons being sent to Ukraine. Gail?
Nicole Killian, thank you very much. In Northwest Alabama, suspected killer is on the loose, and so is a prison official who authorities believe helped him escape. Casey White is his name. He's being held on murder charges. Vicky White is her name, no relation. She is Lauderdale County's Assistant Director of Corrections. Janet Shamlian reports on how a notorious suspect just got away.
Casey White should be considered armed and extremely dangerous.
That warning came hours after inmate Casey White escaped. He was being held in jail on capital murder charges and had been serving prison time for an earlier crime spree. The 38-year-old confessed to the murder he's charged with in 2020, but pleaded not guilty by reason of mental defect. Austin Williams is the son of White's alleged murder victim, Connie Ridgway.
Somebody really needs to find out how this happened.
Authorities say it happened like this. At 9:41 Friday morning, the county's assistant director of corrections, Vicky White, left the detention center alone with inmate White in direct violation of department policy requiring a two-deputy escort. At the time, she said they were headed to a mental health evaluation at the courthouse, less than 5 minutes away. The duo never arrived, and it's since been confirmed no such evaluation was scheduled. By about 11 a.m., Vicky White's patrol vehicle was spotted at a local shopping center. By 3:30 p.m., a booking officer reported they couldn't get in touch with her and that her phone was going straight to voicemail.
At this point, we're pretty much convinced that she assisted the inmate escape.
Rick Singleton is the Lauderdale County Sheriff.
This comes as a total shock and surprise.
Singleton said Vicky White turned in her retirement papers the day before she went missing. She'd worked for the sheriff's office almost 17 years. For CBS Mornings, I'm Janet Shamlian.
Kansas is under a state of disaster emergency after multiple tornadoes touched down Friday. Video shows an EF3 tornado ripping through the town of Andover and sucking homes and cars into its funnel. The twister had winds up to 165 miles an hour. You can see how cars were tossed on top of each other and homes were flattened. There was nearly 13 miles of damage. Illinois also got hit. One twister touched down in Oak Brook near Chicago. That storm brought down trees and tore roofs off buildings. It could be another dangerous day of weather in the plains. Meteorologist Stephanie Abrams from our partners at the Weather Channel has the forecast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning to you, Nate. Unfortunately, a busy start to the week of what is typically a very busy month when it comes to severe weather. And thanks to our virtual view technology, we can transport you to Oklahoma City and show you what it will look like in the Boathouse District on the Oklahoma River, typically known for rafting, kayaking, zip lines, playgrounds. Today, it's going to be known for storms. And let's talk about those storms because it's not just into Oklahoma. We have very humid air. Humid air is very buoyant, more buoyant, in fact, than dry air. So it's Oklahoma into Kansas, Missouri, portions of Arkansas as well could see that severe weather. Our TORCOM value is a 5. The scale goes from 1 to 10. The greater the threat, the bigger the number here. And we are at a 5 on our TORCOM scale today. And watch how we have the storms this morning. We have the clouds. We have the storms. But we are waiting for some more energy to come in. And that's what's going to kick off this line here as we head around 10 o'clock. That's when we will see some of the worst weather passing through. And then it all moves east. So as it moves east, it brings that severe weather threat tomorrow, Ohio down to Louisville, and then again, look at this, Nate, Oklahoma City for our Wednesday. You can catch all-day coverage featuring our virtual view technology on the Weather Channel Television Network.
Stephanie, thank you.
The world of country music is remembering Naomi Judd today with love and great, great respect. The singer-songwriter who became a huge star in the 1980s, you may have heard, died on Saturday, just one day before she entered the Country Music Hall of Fame. Her family says that Judd died from the disease of mental illness. Anthony Mason takes a look at last night's celebration of her life and her career.
Love can build everything.
Naomi Judd was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame posthumously Sunday night, along with her daughter, Wynonna, as the Judds.
I didn't prepare anything tonight because I knew Mom would probably talk the most.
Her daughters, Wynonna and Ashley, came together to pay tribute.
My mama loved you so much, and she appreciated your love for her. And I'm sorry that she couldn't hang on until today.
This is the first time I've talked since saying goodbye. I feel so blessed, and it's a very strange dynamic to be this broken and this blessed.
The mother-daughter duo shared the stage less than a month ago at the CMT Music Awards, their first time singing together at an award show in more than 20 years. It would also be their last.
Love and only love can join the tribes of man.
All told, the Judds sold more than 20 million records, winning 5 Grammys in the process.
Love is alive and at our breakfast table.
Naomi Judd was candid about her health problems. She said a hepatitis C diagnosis forced her to stop performing in 1991.
Not being able to perform missed it so bad. I had panic attacks, was put on all kinds of medication.
She later returned to the stage after being told she was free of the virus. But in her 2016 memoir, River of Time, she also revealed her struggle with severe depression and her trauma from childhood sexual abuse. The Judds had just announced a final tour that was due to begin in September.
Though my heart's broken, I will continue to sing, because that's what we do.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Anthony Mason.
That's one of those things that you get the news. When you hear the news, you say, what? I pulled a picture because I just saw the Judds at the Country Music Awards, and I didn't take pictures with many people, but I deliberately went up because I wanted to see them. And Naomi and Wynonna both were saying how they were really looking. That's Miranda Lambert, of course, along with Wynonna and Naomi. They were saying how they were really looking forward to going on the road again. It just shows that you never, ever, ever know what people are dealing with and what's going on. But certainly thinking about Ashley and Wynonna today.
Yeah, of course, thoughts and prayers with the family. Yeah, a lot of questions, thoughts and prayers for sure.
Yes.
The music lives on forever, though, as it always does.
That's
right, well said. All right, but we do move on this morning to Washington, where the White House Correspondents' Dinner, one of the Capitol's biggest social events, returned on Saturday for the first time in 3 years. The event went on despite concerns about COVID. As Ed O'Keefe shows us, high-profile celebrities joined journalists and government figures, including President Biden.
I'm really excited to be here tonight with the only group of Americans with a lower approval rating than I have.
Armed with a few one-liners, President Biden was the first commander-in-chief to headline the White House Correspondents' Dinner since 2016.
This is the first time the president attended this dinner in 6 years. It's understandable. We had a horrible plague followed by 2 years of COVID.
Canceled for 2 years by the pandemic, this year's dinner drew more than 2,000 journalists, politicians, and, yes, a few celebrities who had to be vaccinated and test negative for COVID. But that didn't stop the jokes.
It is my great honor to be speaking tonight at the nation's most distinguished super spreader events.
The Daily Show's Trevor Noah dished out the biggest laughs, mostly at the president's expense.
Ever since you've come into office, things are really looking up. You know, gas is up, rent is up, food is up, everything.
CBS News Radio's Stephen Portnoy led the evening as president of the Correspondents Association.
Our democracy depends on journalists shining light and truth upon darkness and lies, and bringing accountability to officials at every level of our government.
The president and Noah agreed that despite the pandemic, laughter and partying, calling out those in position of power is a distinctly American trait.
And Trevor, the really good news is now you get to roast the president of the United States. And unlike in Moscow, you won't go to jail.
I stood here tonight and I made fun of the president of the United States, and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine, right? Do you really understand what a blessing it is?
The dinner is a lot of fun, but it's also for a good cause. They handed out more than $130,000 to 31 students at 15 universities. Tony, it was great to see you and everybody else.
Well, you know, Ed, we were at the very best table. I know I was because you were there as well.
you guys had a cool kids table.
I'm so glad you mentioned Steve Portnoy of CBS Radio because he did a terrific job emceeing the night.
He's been working on it for over a year, so well done. Special mommy hug to Steve. He did a great job. Also, great job, Trevor Noah. Because it is so hard to thread that needle, to take a little jab, a little bruise, a little punch, but he wasn't mean. Right. That's the thing. He wasn't mean. And he was actually very, very funny.
But what he's done throughout his career, even dating back to his stand-up, is he's layered the truth in between the funny. And a lot of truth is said in jest. You can appreciate walking away after him talking to the world and really understanding where we are as a country and what we can be thankful for.
Absolutely.
The president was cracking up at some of the jokes directed at him.
Yeah, he was. Ed O'Keefe, thank you again. Nate, same time next year. Yeah.
I'm there.
All right.
I'm there.
Okay, got a spot at my table for you.
All right, cool.
All right.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.